Good morning. I want to talk about scars. The scars can cause pain and serious limitations in the way we approach life long after the injuries are over with. Sometimes scars hamper us for our entire lives. And some of them are so embarrassing that we do anything we can to keep them from ever being seen. A recent TV show had a quote that I found so compelling I wrote it down. Our scars only remind us of where we have been. They do not dictate where we are going. Our scars only remind us of where we have been. They do not dictate where we are going. I thought, that's a beautiful quote. I loved that the first time I saw it, because it speaks to the strength of the human spirit to overcome past wounds and to not be limited in its freedom. But I wonder, and I thought about it more, I said, is it really, really true? Because it doesn't seem that way to me, not for most people, maybe not for anybody. In fact, we are so defined by our scars, by our wounds, that an entire branch of science grew up called behaviorism. Behaviorists believe that our idea of free will is largely an illusion. What we do today is controlled by what we did yesterday and what was done to us. We are controlled, they would say, by our scars. Everybody has things, situations, people that make them uncomfortable, that make them react in ways that almost seem irrational. And now, we have an entire generation coming back, or almost an entire generation of young men and women who are scarred and wounded by their experience in combat, who find it very difficult. In fact, all of us probably know people that are so scarred and wounded that at times life seems almost impossible. They suffer from depression, from fears, from anxiety attacks. Sometimes they lash out at the people around them. But then so do we all, to some degree. For a while among the behavioral scientists, there was a group that came up that was called determinists. And determinists believed that everything we do, every decision we make, was predetermined by everything that had happened to us and around us. We are, they would say, in fact, trapped by our scars. The Greeks had a word for it. They called it fate. And you can't escape your fate. Now, such ideas do not sit well in our rugged, individualized, self-actualized, freedom over everything culture. I'm sorry, I do not like electronics. Must be a scar there. As I was saying, the idea that we're not in complete control of our lives doesn't sit comfortable in this America culture. In fact, I've met people, and you probably have too, that if you even suggested they weren't in complete control of their lives, that they weren't the self-made man or woman that they thought they were, well, you better get ready for a fight. There's nothing wrong with them. No scars here. In fact, usually they're the only people that can't see their own scars. The Bible describes this condition in terms of sin and brokenness of all of life. The psalmist cried out, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Now, the psalmist is not complaining that he had a mother of loose behavior. No, he was describing the human condition. Each and every one of us is born into a fallen and hurtful world that is going to scar us again and again, over and over, and worse. We're going to scar each other, even when we don't want to. The Bible describes it as being slaves to sin. The Apostle Paul, recognizing our inability to get ourselves out of this mess, wrote in Romans 7, "For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want." "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" Paul cries out that he is powerless to extradite himself from his own scars. He can't escape. But then in faith he proclaims, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen? Paul was trying to tell us that within this fallen and broken world, by our own efforts, it's impossible to escape our scars or our wounds. But that's old creation. And Jesus came to bring the future and the present through his wounds, through his scars, to bring us into God's new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." You know, actually, there's no personal pronoun in that second clause. There's no he in the original Greek. A better translation of that phrase might be, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation." Which seems to say that wherever Christ's healing love is breaking in, then the entire web of creation is being recreated in the reality of God's healing love. See, God heals one broken spirit, and an entire corner of creation is healed. Because we're always part of a greater web, even when we think we're alone. Let me say that again. God heals one broken spirit, and an entire corner of creation is healed, because we are always part of a greater network, even when we think we're alone. See, we're deceived by this culture when we think we're independent individuals who stand alone apart from everybody else. That's an impossibility because it's not who we were made to be. To be made in the image of the triune God is to be made in relationship, to be made for community, for family. What affects one affects all. The church reflects this truth when it proclaims that we are all one body in Christ. You ever hear the adage, "Hurting people hurt people"? Well, doesn't it seem true that the opposite would be healing people heal people? And Paul tells us that the way to go from hurting to healing is to be brought into this new creation, a wonderful new creation that Christ, by his scars and wounds, is making a reality now. That's what the cross says. All scars and wounds belong here. Christ says, "They're mine now. They don't have the power to hurt you anymore. They can't dictate your life. They have no power over you." You ever wondered, though, that in the middle of this story about Christ being raised from the dead with a new and glorified body, that he still bears the scars and the wounds of his death, the most shameful and disgraceful of deaths? Odd. Doesn't being a new creature mean no more scars, no more wounds? But you see, the holes in his hands, his side, and his feet, they're no longer the marks of shame and disgrace and death. They're now sacred scars, the marks of resurrection. Wounds with the power to give life. These are the wounds that freed Thomas from his fear and anxiety and his doubt and sent him to India to proclaim the good news. Father Greg Boyle has dedicated his life to helping kids involved with gangs in Los Angeles. His memoirs are published under the title Tattoos on the Heart. During an interview in 2013, he recounted the testimony of a young man named Jose, and he narrates the story this way. "My mom beat me every single day. I had to wear 3 t-shirts to school every day. I wore 3 t-shirts well into my adult years because I was ashamed of my wounds. I didn't want anybody to see them. But now my wounds are my friends. I welcome my wounds. I run my fingers over my wounds." Then he looks at this crowd and he says, "How can I help the wounded if I don't welcome my own wounds?" Yes, Christ wants to take the pain and the shame from our wounds, But he wants to do something else, something more. He wants to turn them into sacred scars, scars that have life, that heal instead of hurt. Scars that not only tell us where we've been, but show us the way forward into the person he always meant us to be. People whose scars free others instead of enslaving them. But is it really possible? Some of us have scars that run so deep and have been there so long that we don't know where they begin or end. We might even fear that without our pain, we might not know who we are. After all, we've earned the right to our pain, our anger, our unforgiveness. After all, we have the scars to prove it. And besides, healing can be frightening and painful. You might not know what you're going to be on the other end of the process. It takes great courage to surrender such control of our lives. But the first thing to understand is that through the cross, it's already been done. Paul in Romans 8 tells us that we are no longer slaves to fear, but children of God. And God is now coaxing us to allow his grace to transform us into what's already true about us. But why does it seem so hard? Maybe because we don't trust. We don't really believe that our Lord is smarter and more powerful than we are. There are scars, after all. We have to take care of them. And so the person that loves us the deepest and wants the most abundant of lives for us, we often keep at the most distance. We'd rather listen to the opinions of other scarred people or live in the negative judgments about ourselves. So unless we spend time with Christ and talk with him, share our scars, our doubts, and fears, spend time at the foot of the cross, then how are we ever going to hear that still small whisper from Christ that says, "Your scars are now mine"? C.S. Lewis, whom some of you may know as the author of the Narnia Chronicles, captured it well when he wrote, "Your real, new self will not come as long as you are looking for it. It will come when you are looking for him." As I said, the first thing to understand is that this is already God's work in us. We're only asked to surrender, to quit picking at our own scars. The final thing is to embrace that this is not just God's work in us, but God's work through us. The church, those people called out as God's people, are scarred brothers and sisters, healing with each other. Remember, healing people heal people. But that is only possible where it is safe to reveal our scars. God is such a safe place. Are we? Are we as individuals and as a community a people that heals or a people that hurts? You see, scars do dictate our lives. The only question is, are the scars that control our lives the scars that we have inflicted and that the world has inflicted on us? Scars that bring with them shame, guilt, unforgiveness, fear, anger, jealousy, slavery? Or are they now the scars of Christ, scars that bring hope and healing and freedom? Would you stand while we pray? Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, come now today and take our scars and our wounds that are trapping us and causing us to hurt other people. Take them on yourself as you promised to do and show us that you've taken them. Free us from them. Set our hearts free so that we can be healing marks for the world around us. Amen.